The reading is from the Epistle of James, the first chapter, the 19th through 27th verses. This you know, my beloved brethren, but let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he looked at himself and has gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effective doer, this man shall be blessed in what he does. If anyone thinks himself to be religious, and yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. This is pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father, to visit the orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep one unstained from the word.
Wow. When all those children left, it almost seems like we need to come in to get... No, I'm just kidding. It's great, though. There is a sort of an inherent irony in being asked, and I want you to know that I appreciate that, in being asked to speak on a passage which commands us to be slow to speak and quick to listen. Got to tread lightly here, I guess. In our study of James, we are now at the end of chapter 1. Deception and the human propensity toward self-deception has been a major theme in the book. The warning is very clear throughout James, that your own heart will lie to you. If these deceptions go unchecked, it will lead us to beliefs and actions that may go against the will of God. Just before I was to be married to my wife, Honda, I became very concerned about all of those things which I knew I needed to work on. Personally, things that I felt short on. Personality traits and habits that I knew that would make it difficult to live with me when that time came. And I knew there was no way I'd be able to work on all of it. My tendency toward absent-mindedness, my inability to see the obvious at times, among a list of other things which I believed would have an impact on our success and at our marriage. The strange thing was that after we got married, I found that a lot of the things that I was most self-conscious about didn't seem to bother her at all. However, surprisingly, there was a whole catalog of things that I did which were unacceptable, flaws that I never before considered flaws. These were the things that caused problems. Apparently, it's simply not okay to pick your socks up with your toes, things like that. Well, that's the trouble with deception. It's the blind spot inside of us. It makes us unable to see those things about ourselves which are completely obvious to those that are close to us. James is concerned about that self-deception and whether we might be deceived into the wrong kind of religion. James recognizes that human actions do not exist in a vacuum. The things we do not come out of nowhere. Back in verse 14, he talked about the seeds of temptation. When planted, they're nurtured by the wicked desires in our hearts, and after a period of time, they sprout out or give birth to sin. God neither gives you the initial temptation nor does he cause that temptation to grow within you. Your own wicked heart is responsible for your sin. Ultimately, nothing can be said about God except that he is the giver of good gifts, that good things come out of his own goodness and generosity. In truth, God's own words are a good gift. And this word from God has been implanted in you. In verse 21, James says that we should put away all filthiness. Clear out all the weeds of wickedness, which have run amok inside, and receive in meekness the implanted word of God. With meekness. What's that about? Why meekness? I think it has something to do with the command that he gave just a couple verses earlier, back in 19. Be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. James doesn't want us to think that the word of God is just going to spring out of us after being planted in us. The gospel starts as a seed inside of you, and through seasons and years of attention and cultivation, God causes something to grow out of you, which also produces fruit of its own. But if you form your religion by mixing that word of God with the evil in your heart, a new Christ-resembling sort of evil may grow out of you. That word inside of you will never develop into the righteousness of God. James gives us these guidelines to live by. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. Often, when this verse is read, it's used as a sort of proverb, which gives practical advice that you can use in your everyday life. In general, it's better to listen than to speak. And of course, anger will not get you what you want. It's best to keep that temper in check. All of these things are true, and a lot can be said about the need for people to control their anger and what they say. One of the most memorable sermons from my childhood was about taking time to consider whether what you're going to say is true, kind, and helpful. But I don't think that's what James has in mind totally. It seems that this instruction has to do with how we receive the word and what we will do with it once it's inside of us. James is saying, don't take that gospel of Jesus Christ and mix it with the wickedness in your heart, because if you do, you may be deceived into a religion that is useless. One of the poor soil conditions for the word of God is a heart that is angry with the world. There's no doubt that Christians have earned the title of angry people because we're just so heated up when things aren't the way we think they should be. We're angry that they don't make biblical movies, and then we're angry that when they do, they're not biblical enough. We're angry that laws are passed which don't align with the Bible, and then we're angry that the government is interfering when they pass laws that do align with the Bible. Let's face it, we get angry when someone changes up the order of worship. Unfortunately, there's no shortfall of Christians getting angry about all kinds of things and making a lot of noise about it. When I was reading this passage with my wife in preparation today, she pointed out to me that the Mongolian version translates that phrase, slow to anger, differently than in English. In Mongolian, it reads, be lazy in your anger. And I like that. If the word of God seems to be driving you toward anger, if your religion seems to be telling you, this is something that I need to be angry about, be lazy. Put it off till later. Don't get all up in arms. Pray on it. Sleep on it. Ask God if this is really something you should be angry about, or if your own wickedness in your heart is deceiving you. Be lazy in your anger. A religion which is saturated in anger is useless. In the same way, be slow to speak. Another way religion can deceive is to take the word of God and getting it stuck in your mouth. This is the idea that Christians should be the first to speak. Christians should be the first to chime in. Interrupt if you have to. Be the first to call your congresspeople or comment on a Facebook post. Don't be fooled. The belief that religion is compelling Christians to keep their mouths moving all the time doesn't come from the Spirit of Christ, but from wickedness in your heart. A religion that is only as deep as the tongue is useless. The tongue is prohibiting the Word of God from sinking in and sprouting out. That reminds me of the Cookie Monster on Sesame Street. I think you guys know what I'm talking about. He loves cookies, and he's always eating them. But because he's a Muppet and not a human being, and he doesn't have a digestive tract or a digestive system, he can't actually eat them, but can only crumble them up in his mouth flap and let the crumbs fly back out. Your words should be premeditated. Your words should be prepared before they're said. But most importantly, your words need to be prayed on before you speak them. Be quick to listen. Be quick to search the scriptures. But don't let the words go in your ears and spill out of your mouth. Remember, the goal here is for the Word of God to sprout out of you, out of your hands and feet. But for that to happen, it will require listening, patience, and yes, work. Work. Don't just hear, do. God is interested in reproducing His Word through you. You are the soil of His field, and He expects to find fruit at harvest time. Opening your ears to the Word is key. But if that seed is planted in untilled, unworked soil, nothing is going to grow. Religion without obedience is useless. James uses a very interesting metaphor for why people are deceived when they listen to what God has to say, but it doesn't lead to action. He gives us this absurd picture. Imagine a guy who is deeply vain. He spends hours in front of the mirror every day, gazing at his own reflection. Yet when you look at him, he's the scruffy, poor-shaven, dirty-faced man with disheveled hair. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't line up. Why spend all that time looking at yourself and not doing anything to fix it up? It's the same way with a religious person who spends hours every day reading the Bible. He's looking into the perfect Word of God, which is acting as a mirror for his soul, showing him his inner self and his sinful condition, yet his familiarity with God's Word is somehow not motivating him to act in obedience to what he sees. He may even be considered a religious person by those who know him, but in effect, his religion is useless. He's a man who is deceived, catching a glimpse of his sinful state through the Bible, but walking away from his Bible study, thinking he's a pretty decent guy. Obedience is an essential component to the nourishment and development of the Word implanted in you. Obedience is carrying your cross. It's dying to yourself daily. It's saying, today, what God expects of me is going to be more important to me than what I want for myself. The religion which God approves is not angry. It does not take every opportunity to talk. It is a religion which listens thoughtfully to what God has to say and then puts God's words above your own. As James puts it, taking care of the needy and the helpless and afflicted. But talking about hearing and doing worries me that some people are going to come to this section of James and say, okay, I get it. Don't just hear. You also have to do. End of story. The doing of the Word here is not the end result of Christianity. The work that goes hand in hand with listening is not an end in itself. Our obedience to what God says, this dying to ourselves, is part of the process of removing that which prohibits the Word of God from growing up in us and sprouting out of us. The righteousness of God is that which God desires to cultivate in you, the fruit in your life that grows up out of that first seed, enriching you with joy, peace, gentleness, and self-control. If you are a receiver of the word first, then in the end, when God works that seed into his righteousness, you will be a producer of that seed which has the power to save. This is the end game. This is where God will have us. He will work in us if we receive him in meekness until we are a part of that great ecosystem of Christ. If there's any way we can help you today, if you'd like to become a part of that ecosystem of Christ, or if you just need to pray with someone, there are people ready to receive you if you come forward as we stand to sing now.